KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have a clear sky here in Atlantic. It's 56 degrees. We look for skies to be clear to partly cloudy today, a high of 73. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, Republicans on a Senate committee have advanced a bill to phase out $150 million in annual state payments to cities, counties, and school districts. The payments were promised in 2013 to make up for the cut in commercial property taxes that state lawmakers ordered. Senator Charles Schneider, a Republican from West Des Moines, said no one realistically expected the state to keep making these payments.
No matter what we pass, local government certainly won't be happy about this. I think the approach we're taking here today is fair and reasonable and gives local governments time to adapt.
The phase-out would begin in July of 2019. For areas of the state that where commercial property taxes are more robust, the state payments would be eliminated in 3 years. Slow-growth areas of the state would have 6 years to adjust to the end of this state support. Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, said many cities and counties will be forced to raise taxes on homeowners and farmers to make up for the declining state payments.
The Republican caucus has had a lot of bad ideas this session, and this might be one of the worst ones. This is a huge broken promise to local governments.
House Speaker Linda Uppmeyer said she and other Republicans in the House are interested in phasing out the payments, but are still considering various options for accomplishing that goal. Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones on Wednesday issued a reminder to local candidates about campaign signs and residents about the placement of garage sale and other signs.
Political signs. Everybody needs to understand, Dana, the other people running for office. Don't put your political signs in the parking. If there's no sidewalk, I think Chris is staying 8 foot from the curb. You know, there's she went through today and cleaned a bunch up, so she's calling Dale Sunderman, called the people who are involved with those signs and tell them to get their signs moved, because that is a violation of your political laws, whatever it is. So the other one is a lot more signs going back out on the streets again, where you ain't supposed to be. You know, when spring comes, they just pop up. I'm not sure how this works, but she's getting back on that. It's a waste of her time, but you got to do it because people don't pay attention.
The state of Iowa says also that political signs may not be on any property without the permission of a property owner or lessee, or be on the property owned by state or governing body of a county, city, or other political subdivision of the state, including all property considered public right-of-way, unless that property is made open and available to any individual group from the public to lawfully place any type of sign. Also, the state says you're not allowed to place political signs on property owned, leased, or occupied by a corporation, a financial institution, or insurance company, except when leased as campaign headquarters or a campaign office, and the placement of the sign is limited to the space that is actually leased. In other business, during Wednesday's city council meeting, Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said, in light of last week's issues with the city's yard waste site burning and the recent dry, windy conditions at that time, the council should consider, for safety reasons, what the future of that site should be, whether that be closing it to leaves and grass only and no trees, or moving it. The fire that occurred last week, he said, was started accidentally.
Because of the issues of what we have in the area now, this has always been an issue for us. It's been not too bad the last couple of years, but we can waste a lot of time out there. And now you've got the Sherwood Park, you're trying to have people out there. We know how it smoked up because the wind was out of the north. The north end of town got hammered. There wasn't anything we could do. We put about 8,000 gallons or 7,000 gallons that night on it and foam to knock it down and slow it down. But the wind keeps drying it out. We had City Street Department come out, paid one of their guys 2 hours overtime to sit there while we decided what to do. We didn't dig into it because we'd have been chasing it everywhere and causing more problems. I was really worried that it was going to get over into the Shelburne Quarry.
Of course, that won't be a problem, at least for the short term, with the recent heavy rains we received. This past weekend, though, people started putting materials in the piles of smoldering yard waste, creating more problems, especially with the winds whipping up to 45 miles per hour. And that resulted in the site being closed through midday Tuesday.
It's not a good area for fire. And now that we have the ethanol out there, they have an issue. We have an issue if that blows like it does in the future. And we've got a cornfield across Glacier that gets going. We're not very far from a railroad line full of ethanol cars and an ethanol plant, and that's not a good combination.
And he asked the council to think about changing what goes on at the yard waste site. Ideally, he said, it either needs to be moved, put into a hole, or eliminate the long burning trees or something else.
Keep telling people, when you burn stuff, brush like that or logs, they can sit there forever. You think they're out and they come back. So, I mean, even if you think it's out there, you get winds like it was the other day, sustained winds, but then when we had the, I don't know what they got up to, 40, 45 gusts, you know, that blows a long way.
And the council took the issue under advisement. Elsewhere in area news, the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund has donated $500 to Josh Peach for the upcoming Kids Fishing Clinic. That clinic will take place June 2nd at Lake Anita State Park. The Friends of Lake Anita will begin registration for the event at 9:30 on that morning, with fishing to start at 10 o'clock. There will be a short program held prior to the fishing, and each participant will receive a prize, and the event is finished off with a hot dog, chips, and water provided to participants. Fund spokesperson and Trevor's mom, Melanie Petty, said, "We're happy to help sponsor this wonderful event that gets kids out into the great outdoors. Fishing is a great sport that you can enjoy all your life, and if you're new to fishing, the group even has a few fishing rods that they will loan out for the event." She reminds you also that the 10th annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Outing will be held August 11th at Nishna Hills Golf Club. That's the only fundraising event they have for the year, so if you're interested in entering a team, call or text Melanie Petty at 712-249-3696. She says, "We look forward to a great day of golf and friendship, and all monies raised are donated back to the community that Trevor loved." Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naig on Thursday announced 10 urban conservation water quality demonstration projects will provide over $3.2 million in matching funds and additional in-kind contributions to support water quality improvement efforts. Among the participating communities is Atlantic. The Atlantic Urban Conservation and Education Project was awarded a grant of $41,000 toward the $82,000 project cost of installing bioretention cells, rain gardens, native landscaping, and a bioswale within a community park and at the high school. In addition to the water quality improvements, the Atlantic High School will also integrate educational curriculum on the water quality benefits of those practices. And the East Pottawatomie County Extension and Outreach and 4-H program offered Cooking with Kids after school program on Wednesdays in April at the Carson Fire Station for all fourth grade youth. Youth spent the afternoon learning about basics and safety of cooking and baking, measuring, reading a recipe, using kitchen utensils and appliances, washing dishes, setting a table, manners, and working together. Throughout the four sessions, the youth learned to crack eggs, cook meat in a safe internal temperature, dice up meat and fruit, use the stovetop, oven, blender, griddle, and make French toast, mini chicken pot pies, fruit smoothies, and other goodies. The youth also created a cookbook with a collection of all their recipes along the way. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.